All this year, we have been talking about the theme of victory. We've talked about victory over fear, over bitterness, over grief. We've talked about victory over depression, lust, and disappointment. I won't take the time to mention every topic that we've covered throughout the year, but with each topic, we've also looked at an Old Testament Bible character and learned how that particular person had victory in their life. If you missed any of those sermons, you know those sermons are available to you on our church website. You could go back and listen to them, and I would encourage you to do that. I have tried throughout this whole series to emphasize that our victory is in Jesus. It's not in our own strength. There's no way that you or I can stand toe-to-toe with the devil and win against him. He's too strong. He is a supernatural enemy with supernatural power, and the only way that we can defeat him is to stand in Jesus Christ, because Jesus is stronger than him. Jesus, too, has supernatural power, but his power is greater than the power of the evil one. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, says 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. And then the verse that is on our banner that we've been seeing all through 2021, 1 Corinthians 15, 57, it says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And we've sung about that victory this morning, the fact that Jesus has won that battle by raising up from the dead. That was Satan's most powerful weapon, was death. And Jesus crushed the evil one on resurrection morning as he raised up from the dead. And if you and I will find ourselves in him, in Jesus, we will have that victory in our life too. Today, we are going to look at yet another Bible character whose story will cause us to just shake our heads in amazement. It is hard for us to imagine all of the trouble that Job went through. We think we have troubles. I wouldn't even dare to compare the troubles that I have gone through in my life with Job's troubles. His troubles seem to be on a whole different level than what any of us have gone through. And so what we're talking about today is, from Job's life, how to have victory over trials. His story is found in the Old Testament book that bears his name. And as that story unfolds, Job is living a very luxurious life. He has a large family. He has 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owns 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys. It says that he had many servants. Verse 3 of that opening chapter says that Job was amongst the greatest. In fact, it says he was the greatest man among all the people of the East. Now, I took that verse and kind of did some research on the word greatest. What does the word greatest mean when it says Job was the greatest man in all the people of the East? The word greatest in the Hebrew is the word gadol. It has to do with nobility and power and wealth. Interestingly, if you're reading from the New Living Translation, it actually translates that word as richest. And so it's focusing more on Job's wealth. It says, in fact, he was the richest person in that entire area. And yet, unlike so many people today who are known for their riches and their power, Job was a righteous man. Not only was his wallet full, but his life was full of God. He was a righteous man. And we'll talk more about that here in a few minutes. There is an interesting conversation that we see going on in that opening chapter of Job's book, the conversation between God and Satan. And God is taking great pride in his servant Job, who is upright and blameless, the text says. And Satan's response was, well, if you didn't have such a bubble of protection around him, he wouldn't be so righteous. If you just let me at him, if you just let me unleash my power against him, he wouldn't be so righteous. Long story short, God gives Satan the opportunity to attack Job. And in a very short while, all of the power and all of the destruction of Satan has been unleashed against Job. And if you're familiar with his story in those opening two chapters, you'll remember Job loses all 10 of his kids in a windstorm. He loses his flocks and his herds of animals, and eventually he loses his health. The only thing Job has left is his wife, who was not a good encouragement to him. She said to him, "Job, you should just curse God and die." But Job wouldn't do that. He kept his faith in God, and twice it says in those opening two chapters that he did not sin against God. And so my question to you today, and I want to try and find the answer to this question in the sermon, is simply this: how did Job have victory in his life over trials? And the first answer, I think, to that question is simply this: he laid a good foundation. Verse 1 says, Job was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. I get the impression from that Job's relationship with God was something that he had been working on for quite a long while. In Job's life, God was number one above all of his riches. He was well acquainted with God. So when hardship did come his way, he didn't have to search for God. He didn't have to reintroduce himself to God. He was already in a relationship with God. He had built this relationship from a day-to-day time spent with God and loving God. And so he's accustomed to looking upward in his life. And so when hardship comes, he does what he always would do. He looked up to God for help. And I want to ask you, are you laying a good foundation now in your Christian walk? Are you walking with him every day so that when hardship does come your way, that you will naturally look up to him? Because this is what you do. This is how you live your life. You are in relationship with him day in and day out. And so when hardship comes, it's just natural for you to look upward towards him. You don't have to search for him. You don't have to reintroduce yourself to him. This song that we had played for us today, David Crowder's song, "Good God Almighty," it has become one of my favorite songs. And it's a tune that I just find myself singing through the day. And even in the night as I wake up, the song has been on my mind. Part of that song, it says, "Praise him in the morning, praise him in the noontime, praise him when the sun goes down, love him in the morning, love him in the noontime, love him when the sun goes down." It's a personal relationship that we are building with him every day, all through the day, through the night. And this foundation that we are laying will help us when trials come our way. And so again, I ask you, are you laying a foundation spiritually with God? Are you building that relationship with Him day in and day out so that when trials do come, you have that relationship with Him? Secondly, not only did Job lay a foundation with God, he was a worshiper of God. It's amazing to me. Job lost all that he had in such a short period of time, and yet this is his response. I want to read it to you. Chapter 1 of Job, verses 20 through 22. And you put yourself in Job's shoes. How is it that you would respond if you lost everything? This is how Job responded. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I will return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Wow. I particularly want to focus on that phrase in verse 20, that he fell to the ground and worshiped. It takes me back to the time that I lost my job in Fort Scott and that ministry of 30 years, and Cindy and I had been invited to go to Randy Garris's house in Joplin. Randy was a preacher friend of mine, one whom I have great respect for. He had a 30 plus year ministry of his own at the College Heights Christian Church there in Joplin. He was actually my mom and dad's preacher. That's where they attended church. And I had known Randy through the years. And I have had great respect for him through the years. I looked at him as one who was very wise, one who walked with God. And so when this trial happened in our lives, I received a phone call from Randy. And he simply said, "Hey, I've heard what's happened, and I just wanted to reach out to you. I want you to know I care about you. And if you need someone to talk to, I want you to know that my door is open to you." And so that was the invitation that he gave to me. And I sat on that invitation for 3 months. And I called him back after 3 months, and I said, "Is that invitation still open? I'd like to talk with you." And he said, "Sure." And he gave us the invitation to come. We ate supper with he and Julie that evening and had a great time sitting around the table, eating and talking with one another. But after supper, Cindy and Julie disappeared, and Randy and I were left alone to talk. And you know what he said to me? This is what he emphasized over and over again to me. I wrote it down after I left because I didn't want to ever forget it. And I want to pass it on to you because it is such good advice. He said, "If you want to have victory over hardship, then go to God in worship." Let those words sink in. He said, "Kevin, if you want to have victory in your life over hardship, go to God in worship." And you can fill in the blank of whatever the hardship might be, whether it's losing a job, whether it's the loss of a loved one, whether it's financial crisis, whether it's family crisis. You just fill in the blank. Whatever it is, whatever hardship comes your way, if you want to have victory in your life over that hardship, then go to God in worship. Worship is the pathway to victory. Hardship has a way of getting us down, doesn't it? But worship to God not only lifts Him up, it lifts us up. Back to that song, David Crowder's song, "Good God Almighty, I hope you'll find me praising your name no matter what comes." You hear that? I hope, God, I hope that you will find me praising your name whatever comes, because I know where I'd be without your mercy. So I keep praising your name at the top of my lungs. That is exactly what we need to be doing, is giving worship and praise to God. He is deserving of that. I guess we could be consumed with our problems and get in this downward spiral of discouragement, or we can focus on how good God is amidst our hardship. That's not to deny the hardship. That's not to make light of the hardship, but we focus on how good He is amidst the hardship. And in doing so, He lifts us up. I want to read to you a piece from Craig Groeschel's book, The Christian Atheist. I read to you a piece of this a few weeks ago. This is on the topic that we're talking about today. And he writes this: "Near the end of her life, when my grandmother was 78 years old, she still lived by herself. One Friday afternoon, a stroke overtook her as she walked into her bathroom. When I remember this tragedy, I just ache for her," he says. "Suffering immensely, Grandma, my hero, lay alone, paralyzed, a prisoner on her own bathroom floor. She was there for 3 agonizing days alone. No one knew she was hurt. No one came for her. Finally, on Monday morning, one of Grandma's neighbors decided to check up on her. When no one came to the door for several minutes, the neighbor called for help. Police and an ambulance arrived shortly, and they broke in and found her. The paramedics whisked Grandma to the emergency room, giving her the first relief she'd felt in 72 long hours. I'd love to tell you why God allowed my grandma to suffer alone on the cold, hard bathroom floor, but I can't. I'd love to say it was all a part of God's plan and that He used it in some big way. Again, I can't. I wish I could tell you that Grandma shared her faith with a nurse in the hospital who then began to follow Christ. I wish I could tell you Grandma was healed that day and that she fully recovered. I can't tell you any of those things. The truth is, Grandma never recovered. I can't tell you. She spent her remaining 6 months on this earth partially paralyzed under the constant care of physicians. Before Grandma died, I asked her what she thought about when she was alone on the floor. I'll never forget what she said. Quote, I've never been closer to God my whole life than when I was in pain. Wow. Alone on the floor for 3 days. And yet she wasn't alone, because He was with her. And she could sense His presence. And brothers and sisters, that's what I'm saying to you. As trials come our way, draw near to Him, and He will draw near to you, says James 4:8. And so I want to ask you, how are you doing in your worship to God? In the morning, in the noontime, in the evening, in the nighttime hours, how are you doing in your worship to God? May we grow accustomed to giving Him the praise that He deserves. Even when things aren't going our way, may we still give Him praise. And as we do that, He will draw near to us because we have drawn near to Him. Number 3, as we're answering this question, how did Job have victory in his life over trials? Job understood that life was both good and bad times. Let me read to you another passage from Job's book, chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Poor Job. I mean, his wife wasn't much of an encourager to him. And I have to tell you, that is one blessing that God has given to me, is a wife who encourages me and stands beside me. And I want to thank you, Cindy. I love you. And I'm so glad that you are beside me. Now, she doesn't always agree with me. I'm working on that. But I can tell you for sure, she has stood beside me through the years. And what a blessing that is. Job didn't have that blessing. She said, Job, just curse God and die. And Job gives it right back to her. He says, "You're foolish. You're speaking as one of the foolish women speak. Don't you know that there is both good and bad in life? The good times are fun, aren't they? I mean, we bring it on, God. Bring on the good times. We enjoy the good times. We're glad to receive them. But reality is, there are bad times in life too, more than what we prefer to have. And Job spoke of this a couple of different times in his book. Job 5:7 says, "For man is born for trouble, as sparks fly upward." Job 14:1 says, "Man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of turmoil." It's true. Troubles come knocking on our door. I was talking a while back with a young couple, and they were saying to me, because I was saying, you know, as we are married to one another, troubles come our way. Just be ready for that. And this couple was saying back to me, you know, we've really not experienced much trouble in our lives to this point. And I said, count your blessings, because they will come. They will come. And I began to think back in my own personal life. And I, honestly, I don't think I knew what trouble was either until I was about 25 years old. And then trouble hit. It found me. I didn't go looking for it. It found me. And I tell you what, ever since, it has tracked me down from time to time, just as it has each of you. Troubles find us. Troubles come our way. They draw near to us. And what we need to do then is draw near to Him when those troubles come. Because troubles can drive us to Him. Isn't that right? We pray more. We're more desperate for Him because we realize we can't do this on our own. Troubles can actually work for our good. And so not only should we be thankful for the good times that are in our life, I think the Scripture teaches us that we should be thankful even for the hard times in our life too, because it's during those hard times that we sense His presence and that we are challenged in our spiritual life and we are growing deeper. Our roots are growing deeper in Him. That's why Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Be thankful, yes, for the good times. They're fun, but be thankful too for the bad times, because that's when our spiritual growth can be the greatest. You look on a graph of your life. You'll see peaks and you'll see valleys. The peaks representing the good times, the valleys representing the hard times. And that graph goes up and down, doesn't it? Up and down, because that's life. We have good times and we have bad times. But what Job had figured out is that God was the same for him, whether it was when the graph was up or when the graph was down. God's the same on the mountaintop as he is in the valleys. He's always there, he's always good, and he never fails us. Let me give to you a fourth point as we're talking about how Job overcame trials in his life. He chose to trust in God. I want to read to you one of the great verses in the whole book of Job. Okay, in fact, I think this is one of the great verses in the whole Old Testament. Job chapter 13, verse 15, it says, and this is Job talking, he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And what he is saying is simply this: no matter what happens, no matter how hard things get, no matter how bad things get, I am going to trust him. I am going to hold on to him. I am going to put my hope in him. And that's what should be happening for us. That should be our commitment. No matter what hardship comes our way, no matter how difficult the road gets, that we would hold on to him, that we would trust him, because he is our only hope. I'm praying that's what we're striving for in our life. If our health goes awry, still we're going to trust him. If our freedoms are taken away from us and we start being persecuted for our faith, still we're going to hold on to him and trust him. If money gets tight, if the job is lost, if work dries up, still we're going to trust him. If the stock market collapses, if the economy collapses, I don't know. I just know who holds me. I'm going to trust him. And it's a choice that we make to put our trust in him. Yes, trials will come, but as we choose to trust him, he will lead us into victory. Would you read this with me, please? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And who else is there to trust? I'm thinking back to when Cindy's dad had escalated, the dementia had escalated to the point that they had to take him out of the home that he had lived in for 73 years. You know how hard that was for the family? 73 years. He'd lived in the same home on the same farm. And they were going to have to take him out. I mean, who else is there to turn to but God in those kinds of circumstances? He is the one that we must put our trust in. Psalms 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. And there are a lot of things that we could fill in the blank there in place of horses and chariots. Some trust in their 401k, but we will trust in the Lord our God. Some trust in all of their stuff, but we will trust in the Lord our God. Some trust in themselves, but we will trust in the Lord our God. He is the only one who is worthy of our trust simply because he is God. I have one final point as to how Job overcame trials in his life. He responded to God's rebuke. I want you to know, Job wasn't perfect through this whole adventure. If you've read through Job's book, you'll know that to be true. Because there came a point where Job started to complain. He felt like God's judgment was against him. He didn't feel like he deserved that. He didn't feel like God was being fair to him. And so Job began to complain, and God let him blow steam for quite a while, but there came a point where God rebuked him. And this is what God said to him, chapter 40, verse 1. Will the fault finder contend with the Almighty? I guess that I should have got another verse or line in there. But what comes after that is God's words to Job. He says, will the fault finder contend with the Almighty? Let me read to you some of God's words to Job. Chapter 38, verses 3 through 5. Put yourself in Job's shoes. God's talking to you. Now gird up your loins like a man, and I will ask you, and you instruct me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. Who set its measurements, since you know? Or who stretched the line on it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid the cornerstone? Verses 16 through 18, he continues on. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, Job? Have you ever walked the bottom of the sea? That's what God's asking. Or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the gates of death, deep darkness? Have you understood the expanse of the earth? Tell me if you know all of this. There's a little sarcasm there from God to Job. In fact, there's a lot of sarcasm there. You want some good reading? Chapters 38 through 42 of Job, some of the greatest chapters in the whole Bible. As it reveals to us how great God is. And all of it is God talking to Job. And he's saying, Job, don't you know this is what I have done? Do you know what Job's response to him is? It's beautiful. Behold, I am insignificant. What can I reply to you? I retract and I repent in dust and ashes. Folks, sometimes God disciplines us through hardship. And our response back to him is critical. If we rebel against his discipline, then we learn nothing. And he has to find another avenue to get our attention. But if we submit to his discipline, then our hardship can be the greatest times of growth in our life. Wow. Do you get that last part? If we respond to God in humility and submission, our times of hardship can be the greatest times of growth in our life. Let me just, if Stacy would just put on the screen those 5 points. How did Job overcome trials in his life? Right there. Let's pray. God, help us to be laying a good foundation ahead of the trials. Help us to be a worshiper of you. Help us to be reminded that life is both good and bad. It's just reality. Help us to choose to trust you, Heavenly Father, and to respond to your rebuke to us. In Jesus' name.